Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision and just order for the table a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., Claudia Bellafato, the DraftKings studio in Boston. We have a great show for everybody. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a five-star rating, and try and check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the DraftKings Network, as well as noon to 1 p.m. Eastern, the best of on VSiN, wherever you hear them on the radio. Claudia, what do we got going down today?
Yeah, good Tuesday show. I think I'm supposed to sing this first line, which I'm not going to do. Ain't no sunshine, though. Where does Phoenix go from here? Kind of a big deal. The Kelce brothers locking in the future and special grade. I know you guys don't love giving grades for the draft. We're going to put a little twist on it. But we have to start with the fact that LeBron is bounced from the first round of the playoffs for the first time since 2021. But as LA Mayor Karen Bass tweeted, then deleted, tough season. At least we won the offseason tournament, right? That counts for something. It was a tight one pretty much throughout the series. Like we said, it's not like it was a devastating loss. This is just what happens when you make it to the postseason and have to face the defending champ in the Nuggets. Right, Gojo?
Yeah, this is the breaks, as they would say. It is interesting, though. Like you mentioned, the stat about them missing the or getting bounced in the first round for the first time since 2021. This is the first time that we will walk into a second round of the NBA postseason without LeBron James, Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant since the 2009-2010 season. So we are stepping into uncharted waters. It can be a little bit scary, and we need a life preserver. And that life preserver is our dear friend Charlotte Wilder, who is here for a Wilder Wednesday on a Tuesday in the first hour. Charlotte, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, there it is. Wilder Wednesdays on a Tuesday with Charlotte Wilder. That's like the most on-brand thing that ever could have been made for me. You guys are crushing it. I'm just so thrilled to be here with you on this unbelievably eventful NBA. I was like Wednesday or Tuesday. So the people listening must be really confused. Sorry, guys. Yeah, that stat you said about the 2009, 2010 without LeBron, KD, Steph is pretty mind blowing. But I think it's safe to say, guys, that the league is in good hands.
Well, I think that's it. Mike and I started talking about that yesterday, and we'll certainly get into more of that. They absolutely are in good hands. But, you know, this is going to be the talk today, not only the end of what's LeBron's 17th playoff appearance and only the second time that he's been dumped in the first round. The other time was in 2021 when the Suns dumped him in the first round. So this is a guy normally not starting his vacation until a little later, going to get an early jump, as we were talking before the show, Mike, when you said preparing for Paris and the Olympics and all the wine he's going to drink out there. But this is a time to talk about now what he does, because it's not just about what he's going to do for the Lakers, you know, what's going to go on with his son Bronny in the draft. Is he going to go in the draft? You know, he's got the option year for $54 million. There's a ton of questions. And Mike, also, as we chatted about before, we're in the last part of the LeBron James basketball season, of his moods, beginning of season, midway through the season, and after the season, on how he normally acts.
Yes, we are in firm father and husband mode. As we heard last night at the podium after the game, when LeBron James is getting ready to get ushered out of a basketball season and end the year without lifting a trophy, the default is always this answer when LeBron was asked about the end of the season and him just wanting to go home.
No, I just want to get home to the family, honestly. Start looking at the schedule, obviously. I got, my son, one of my boys is just trying to decide if he's going to, you know, enter the draft or go back to school. I got another kid that's playing AU ball right now. My daughter's playing volleyball. And my wife is doing so many great things. So it's about family right now. And then in a couple months, I got to go to Vegas for training camp. So, you know, I got to rest my body for USAB. But you know, that's kind of the initial thoughts. No.
Bigger than basketball, guys. We always have to keep in mind that it's bigger than basketball. And really, this is, Charlotte, it feels bigger than just LeBron, because I think LeBron is the easy part of this equation for the Los Angeles Lakers. They want him back. It sounds like they're going to do whatever it takes to get him back, up to and including drafting LeBron James Jr. if given the opportunity. We find all of this out because, of course, Shams had the article ready to go as soon as this thing went final. Yeah. We already had the retrospective on the 2023-24 Lakers season, including the fact that, yeah, the Lakers, as a franchise that's been buoyed by stars forever, wants to keep LeBron James, much the same way they gave Kobe that sort of lifetime achievement contract at the end of his deal. But then, Charlotte, already the buzzard circling over Darvin Ham as he is not even a few hours removed from what could be his final game coaching in a Lakers uniform. Do you think there's any world where he comes back?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Like, that man, that was a dead man walking. I think what's so fascinating to me about this is watching those last four games, which, by the way, you know, not to, I don't want to anger Michael Malone by not mentioning the Nuggets names. Like, let's say the Nuggets did a great job, a gentleman's sweep, a nice little broom, a nice little, hey, LeBron, we won't sweep you completely in your 21st season in the league. But watching those games, I really felt like, and to a certain extent all year, but in the playoffs especially, that brief, shining, beautiful moment, I felt that LeBron thought he was the coach in a way that I had not really fully seen. There was in game three, I believe, or four, I don't remember, which was the one that they didn't lose, the one game they didn't lose.
Game four. They avoided the sweep there, yeah.
He's jumping up and down, just irate at a call. And the image that came to mind was actually Rumpelstiltskin. Do you guys remember that fairy tale?
Sure.
No, you don't? Okay, well, it's this tiny little man, this like little elf guy, who gets really angry and starts jumping up and down. And like, that was what came into my head. And Darvin Ham, they panned him on the sidelines and he had his Darvin Ham face on, which was just, you know, for the audio audience, I just did a sort of goofy smile and like raised my eyebrows a little bit.
he just looked like he didn't have the agency he might have needed. And also, I don't know if he would have done the correct things with it if he had had that. So I can't fault them for moving on. They haven't moved on yet, but it was a bizarre situation when you have one of the, if not the greatest player of all time. How do you coach that? You know, it was a crazy experiment.
Well, yeah, Dan, it's always been the difficulty in trying to coach LeBron James, because we've seen over the years, he's obviously churned through a lot of coaches. There's the LeGM memes that come up, but certainly LeBron James as a high IQ basketball savant being difficult to work around. Players have said in the past the spotlight is different, and certainly coaches have felt it. Darvin Ham during the season, I think it was January or February, lamented on everybody hanging on every single game, saying that this is a marathon, his frustration pouring out there. But Charlotte talked about LeBron on-court frustration. We heard Anthony Davis after the game, I think it was game 3 or 4, say, we didn't always feel like we knew what we were doing out there in what seemed like a direct shot at coaching. So this thing's been leaking for a while, and I think it's finally going to come to a head now.
Yeah, I think it is too. But you know what? I hope not too much blame is thrown that way on Ham, on Frank Vogel. You know, look at Doc Rivers. He took over a team that had a great winning percentage. Now he had some players hurt, but they weren't playing well. Sometimes it gets old to point at the head coach and say, yeah, you're the problem. I don't care who the head coach of the Lakers was this year. They weren't beating Denver. Denver's the best team in the NBA, I think. I think they're going to win the championship. But so sometimes, Charlotte, it gets a little much for me with saying, oh, yeah, it's the coach's problem, because quite honestly, the coach is one of the easiest things to replace in the offseason when you start, you know, pulling back the curtain and saying, what are the problems here? They're the easy one to decide, but there's no way that was the reason they lost this series.
Well, I think in both the cases, the Lakers and the Suns, there was a huge issue with roster construction, right? Like, they just did not have, you can't look at either of those teams, especially after, I mean, in the beginning of the season, people looked at the Suns and they were like, oh, sick, this is going to work. And it's like, well, do you remember how everyone was like, it's interesting that they don't have a point guard, and the Suns were like, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out, we'll take turns. That is never going to work. And we talk about this on Oddball a lot, about how you need clear expectations, you need a structure, you need buy-in. And what we're seeing now with the teams that are winning, with the Timberwolves, with the Thunder, with the Knicks, is that this is a team, everybody knows their role. Everybody is following the leader of this team, and there are leaders. And there is a real doggedness. The one thing that you can't teach is youth. And how hard are you going to play? You can get guys onto your team who will play as hard as you need them to, or who will fit your team ethos. But if you don't know what your team ethos is, if there isn't a clear identity, how are these professional athletes supposed to know exactly how to win? Because you and that comes from ownership down. And so I think that I agree with you, Senior. You can't just blame the coach. I do think they're not inculpable, right? Like Frank Vogel, nothing was working in the first three games, and then he didn't try anything different in the fourth, but that was also just sort of like a broken situation. So it's a whole bigger thing. And, you know, it's just fascinating when one of those people is LeBron and he's sitting there at the podium and they ask him about his future at the Lakers. And he says, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah.
It does make it really interesting. And I think the reason it always happens with the coaches is because they're the easiest financially to get out of also. Darvin Ham's deal is worth like $5 million a year. LeBron James has until June 29th to either opt into the final year of his contract with the Lakers at $51.4 million or become an unrestricted free agent. Anthony Davis is under contract till 27-28. D'Angelo Russell has a player option for next year worth $18.7 million. So you just do the math on this, and Darvin Ham is the easiest to lose, even if, Charlotte, to your point about roster construction, this is a Lakers team that basically after last year got the trip to the Western Conference Finals and said, hey, let's run it back. Largely the same core here. And I think, Dan, a lot of people's misgivings with Darvin Ham and the rotations and the way things worked out is Darvin Ham almost immediately after never really felt like a guy that pulled the thumb a lot when he was addressing the media in these post-game press conferences, almost immediately talked about, hey, every time it felt like we were getting momentum this year, someone got hurt in a season where your four best players played all more than 71 games. Like, I understand some of the other guys on the fringe of these rotations were down at certain points of the year, but in general, you had better health amongst your core than this Lakers team had been used to, and certainly most of the league can enjoy as we look around now and watch the MASH units that some teams are putting out there. And so I don't think there's going to be a ton of sympathy necessarily. And also, it's understanding, Dad, we talk about this a lot in the NFL in terms of when a franchise drafts a rookie quarterback and you've got a lame duck head coach, see Chicago right now, the franchise is in this state of deciding, are we going to let you be the one to shepherd our new shiny toy into the future? And for the Los Angeles Lakers, the question is, hey, we've seen how Darvin Ham managed the last 2 years of this. We got big summer coming up where we're going to talk about all those first round picks that they're going to try and turn into a player, whether it's Trae Young or another star that they're going to try and go after. Is this the guy that we want at the helm for what is probably our last best shot with LeBron James? And it seems like right now the answer coming from anyone who is the source for Shams's article is a resounding no.
I agree it's going to be a no, but you know, he was a head coach of a team that went to the Western Conference Final last year, you know, and the stuff about here's what aggravates me as well at times, you know, going back to the pro sports locker rooms and communication is there should be. I mean, this is your job. If I ever hear there's a lack of communication, I blame everybody. I mean, there are pros out there. If you don't know what's going on, then you get in a room and you talk with the coach. You know, you get on the same page. Whether because Charlotte, to your point, you're right. You need to know what a game plan is, what you said, the ethos. You need to know what it is so everybody's pulling the same way. And if professional athletes can't get together with a coach and find that out, that's on everybody. That's on everybody. That's just not on a coach giving in to everything his players say. That's everybody working together. Listen, I'm not sitting here fighting for Darvin Ham's job. He's not going to have it. He's going to be gone.
Sounds like
my point is there's when I hear all the stuff about, well, they weren't sure, you know, what the game plan was. Well, are you kidding me? When I hear Anthony Davis say that, well, go ask him. You're a grown-ass man, one of the great players to play in this game. Get on the same page. There's only 15 of you on the roster, all right? Everybody,
I get that, but it's also at the same time, like, you don't have to worry about that from the better coaches in the league where you're in a pivotal moment and you're looking for what to do. Like, if you're Anthony Davis and you're the player, you've already got your hands full with what you're trying to do. Nikola Jokic lived on the other side of that team. And so now if you've got to also think about this strategically in a way that better teams don't have to account for, like, we wouldn't think of this as something that would come up when you were talking about Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat having to worry about that. And so that's kind of the stakes of the game where, yes, it's on everybody to get on the same page, but this is also something that, if true, is not something you would expect from the kind of coach that's going to help you get back to the place the Lakers want to get.
I agree. And I'm only talking about this situation. But if we hear AD say, sometimes we didn't know what we were doing out there, did you express that at all to the coach? Did you have a conversation with the coach instead of saying that publicly? I hope you did. I would hope that's a conversation you had. I'm just trying to step back and say there's responsibility everywhere. Ham's going to be gone. Vogel's probably maybe gone. We'll have to wait until we know there's going to be changes. I get it. I'm not sitting here trying to save anybody's job, Charlotte, but I'm just saying there's more to it than just the head coach is culpable, but there's more culpability than just pointing to the coach who's the easiest one to let go.
Well, in the case of the Suns, I mean, point to the front office, point to the ownership.
Yes.
That is crazy. They bet the whole farm on this team. And I don't really know how they get themselves out of this mess. There's like a lot of math involved because they're over the second apron. I think it's something like 58 or 68 million in luxury tax that they have to pay, 150 million owed to KD, Booker, and Beal. But I think senior in terms of everybody's culpable. Yes, but I think that when things go so wrong, it goes up to the top. It goes to the coach, then it goes to the GM, then it goes to the owner because something was not built correctly, right, Gojo? It's like something didn't work. And in some cases, I think that the coach plays a bigger role in that than others. I think the Suns were just sort of doomed. But I think in right. others, I think that there's a real like, you know, we set this up for you and you didn't steer it correctly. And what's so fascinating to be about LeBron and Darvin Ham is that the expectations, I think, need to be clear for players. I think they also need to be clear for a coach. I'm not standing up for Darvin Ham at all, because I think he made some really bad coaching decisions throughout the year. I think also, Gojo, as you said, blaming people for being hurt when like this actually was a year where a lot of them played, and you know, you got Gabe Vincent back, like you had the tools you needed for a lot of it. Although of course not all of the tools you could have used to begin with. So how those dynamics work, I feel like maybe LeBron has to sort of look inside and say, how much am I willing to be coached or give up a little bit of, I just don't know how anybody can step into that role and be like, you know what, I'm going to step back. You do your thing. I'm going to do mine, because what is the coach's thing in that situation when he's such a genius?
Yeah, there's no coaching LeBron is not easy. We know this. And we said before, playing with LeBron is not easy. It speeds up the life cycle for everybody. You would probably be afforded a longer lease as a coach, as a player, as every other part of this organization, if the stakes were not, we have got arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. And in this case, as the Lakers, you've got him in the twilight of his career. And so last night, you still got 30 points from LeBron in this losing effort. He still at times looked like one of the best players on the court, the way he attacked the basket and did all the things we're used to seeing from LeBron James. But as we said, with no around two, with no KD, no Steph, and no LeBron James, they are no longer on their own worth a pass to the next round. And I do think there is something to the fact that this Lakers team was still very good. The timing just didn't work out. Whenever they saw the Nuggets, they were probably going to lose to the Nuggets. Now, as the rest of the Western Conference got better, the Timberwolves and the young Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't know if they would have been able to take them down, but we saw them go toe-to-toe with what most of us think is the best team in the NBA. And again, it's just because the stakes are so high when it's, hey, LeBron James's final crack at this. So we know this summer on the coaching front and the playing front, we got to get this right. All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York. I guess I did neglect, and Charlotte brought this up before, to say congratulations to the Denver Nuggets for moving on to the second round. Yeah. I think we're all willing to push them to the side today because it's international talk about LeBron Day, and because we'll have probably another few rounds to talk about the Denver Nuggets, who look pretty well informed to defend their title and go back to back here. So we'll get to you guys. Great stuff as always. 10 out of 10, no notes. Very good basketball team. But Charlotte, to sort of put a bow on the LeBron James season pre-Olympics, where we will meet him again, LeBron James does have the player option this summer. There's obviously the Lakers with all of the picks that they have to go after a player this offseason. There's the notion of, do you give LeBron one of those final thanks for playing contracts that Los Angeles has doled out in the past? And do you draft his son? So on that front, overall prognosticating, do you see LeBron James back in a Lakers uniform finishing out his career there next year?
Ah, sorry, that just really cracked me up. Do you give him a contract and do you draft his son? It's like, what a wild. Yeah. let's like take a step back for a second and realize what we're asking here. I think that this is completely in LeBron's court, as it were. I think that this is my favorite information about the entire NBA season is that the draft is June 27th. LeBron's contract, his player option is June 29th. And you better believe he planned that. Wouldn't it be funny if he hadn't, though? He was like, oh, weird. Look how this worked out. So I think I don't see a world in which the Lakers don't do everything they can. I think my question would be, can they actually win a championship? I just don't think bringing like a Trae Young in is going to fix this roster. I don't think that that's what gets you over the hump. I think LeBron then has to make a decision. Would I rather stay on the Lakers, you know, end with the Showtime, good time, sparkling lights of the big city with my son? Am I okay not winning another championship? Or is he like, calling up to, is he just, I don't know that I the tampering gets a little muddy here, but like, no. Does he try to go to the Knicks? Does he say like, you could win we'll see what happens this year, but like, this could be a chance for him to go with his son somewhere where he thinks it's very likely that he would win, or he can stay comfortable with his whole family in LA, have them bring Bronny in and be like, you know what? I'm okay playing with my son, even if it means not winning a championship. I think LeBron wants his cake and wants to eat it too. So I really have no idea is what I'm trying to say, Gojo, but I think it is absolutely fascinating.
And it is all on LeBron. I completely agree. You have to look at some of the positives. I mean, Austin Reeves played 82 games. LeBron played 71. Anthony Davis played 76 games. I mean, for those two older guys, they played a lot of the season, and certainly LeBron played way more than the thought of a minutes restriction was going to go on to where he played. And I guess I would say, if we think the Lakers are going to do anything they can to keep LeBron, that anything may be to sign Bronny. Whether he gets drafted or they sign him after the draft, however it would work, you know, that's part of doing anything you can to keep LeBron James. Because I agree with Charlotte, Mike. It's do you decide to stay there where you've been there for a little while, you're comfortable there, or you try and, you know, go another route with another team? This is all going on. What's going on? LeBron may already have his decision made in his mind. Who knows? You know, but I guess my point is, if we think the Lakers are going to do anything they can to keep LeBron, that would be if Bronny wants to go to the NBA and not go back to college, that would include bringing him on.
Yeah, I think LeBron gets whatever he wants at this point from the Lakers because they're inclined to treat their stars like that. And I think because LeBron James wants all that stuff. The one positive of going to another place, and if we were to use New York as the operative example, is at least there, if LeBron James at this point in his career, the Lakers move is always supposed to be about some relief, right? It was, hey, we're supposed to be passing the baton to Anthony Davis in a way that may or may not ever truly happen. He played pretty well in this series overall. He got banged up in the game last night, and that was kind of what turned the tide in the game itself that we've talked very little about, is as they were leading for a majority of this game and keeping it close, Anthony Davis takes a shoulder to the shoulder, looks like he gets a stinger, and then after that is much less effective and the things turn, and Denver and Jamal Murray hit an incredible shot to finish this game that Jamal Murray almost didn't play in, by the way. Had to literally argue with Michael Malone to even play in because of his calf strain, which seems to be going around in the NBA, like we'll talk about here in a second with Kristaps Porzingis, but all of that gave way to this now. And so if you wanted to argue that, hey, if LeBron James left for a place like New York, hey, you got built-in relief in Jalen Brunson. You got a guy who's absolutely going to go out there and shoulder the load so LeBron doesn't have to do it all at this point. But I think the convenience of literally everything else skews so much in favor of the Lakers that I think we're going to see LeBron James finish out his career in a Laker uniform, barring something insanely unforeseen, as we wait and find out. Now, I think the other thing that LeBron doesn't really have control over, at least totally, is what his son actually wants to do or believes is best for his basketball career, which feels tied in and always has. But as LeBron's backed off that idea of I'm going to finish my career playing in the same uniform as my son, like we heard for so many years, Charlotte, I do think that there's some acknowledgement of his agency in all this that at least makes that a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he said when he was listing all of his family members and their various schedules, I'm surprised we didn't find out that someone has a dentist appointment next Friday. He said, I have a son who's trying to decide whether he goes to the draft. I think that is an interesting way of putting it, because I think that he's going to have a lot to say about it. And I think teams are going to have a lot to say about it, because it's got to be strange to be Bronny James and know that, hey, if I'm drafted, it's probably because of my dad. And like, that's great. But also, what do you want as a person? And maybe Bronny is, maybe he's very realistic. He's like, look, I know what I am. I know what I'm not. I'm not my dad. It would be very cool to play with him for a year and then like see if I can hang around and like fight my way into a roster spot. But I think that that is also a bargaining chip for both of them, because LeBron can say to a team like, hey, a team that couldn't afford him otherwise, is he willing to take less than he would because they're willing to take his son? I mean, it's this very interesting give and take. I too, Gojo, would be shocked if he's not with the Lakers, just because I think it's too easy and it makes too much sense. And everything we've already said, but I can't remember something I'm more excited for in the reality show of the NBA than to find out where LeBron and if Bronny joins him, because this is a narrative. If you told me, you know, when they had the Chosen One magazine and it was all, if you told me like, hey, the way that this guy ends his career is by trying to play basketball with his kid, I would be like, well, the writers surely don't think we would believe that, right? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing on almost every front, Dad. It really is ridiculous. Yeah. And the best part about how this is going to play out, too, is it's going to make all of the training camp media availability for Team USA an absolute movie, because LeBron James largely shirked everything in terms of this conversation after the game, said he didn't want to talk about that, you know, didn't give any hints about his future. So LeBron James, who understands, hey, I'm going to get asked about this if we get swept, clearly had a plan, which is we're going to keep all the cards on the table right now as we go into this, because he hasn't gotten to this point in his career by not being a great negotiator and using the leverage hammer you always reference in these situations. But it's going to give us a lot of fun as they get ready to play basketball for Red, White, and Blue.
Yeah, and listen, he's always had the leverage hammer. But a big question is, and I think when we talked about LeBron backing off from the playing with Bronny, I think most of us feel, anybody who's married anyway, feels that Savannah jumped in on this one and said, hey, chill. Okay, and I would imagine Savannah may be the one that says, and I'm sure a family, they seem, you know, be very interested in each other's careers and everything, is, how about we ask Bronny what he wants to do? You know, does he want to get involved in this? As the leverage hammer swings, does he want to be part of the handle that's being swung? I mean, I would imagine they would want to get his input, and I'm sure they are. And I'm sure most of that is thanks to Savannah.
Coming up next, we'll have a very informed conversation on the disgusting trait that disgusting practice that is nepotism in sports and otherwise here. We cannot keep allowing these things to happen. But coming up next, if you can't tell, the DNA of at least half this show is ESPN. We spent the first 30 minutes talking about LeBron James. Coming up next, we will acknowledge other basketball here on Gojo and Golic. Growing up playing sports, I learned really quickly that how you do the little things is how you're going to do everything. That's why coaches always harped on us about having our hand behind the line on sprints or picking up our locker, because that was going to directly translate to critical moments on the field, making sure we're lined up right, taking the right steps so we can go out there and execute and win ball games. Small actions can have big benefits, just like how taking care of your gut can support your entire body's health. That's where our friends at Seed come into play. Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is going to benefit your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. I just got my welcome kit and started taking Seed's DSO1 myself, and I'm loving it. I love the convenience of being able to have it in the cabinet with my other supplements, because you don't need to worry about refrigerating it, and I love the free travel vial that comes along with it. I'm constantly on the road, and so being able to take DSO1 with me on the go is huge for my lifestyle. while here. I'll tell you what else I love is the fact that it's backed by science. DSO1 was developed in collaboration with Seed Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you can trust. And it's great in convenience, too. Probiotics and prebiotics work best when they're used consistently, just like any other routine health habit. And Seed's subscription service is going to easily help build DSO1 into your routine, again, with no refrigeration required. So, trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO.
LeBron James who? How about Derek White, 38 points in the Celtics Game 4 win last night to go 3-1 up on the Miami Heat. That's the good news. The bad news, starting big man Kristaps Porzingis left with a calf before halftime, did not return. He's undergoing imaging on Tuesday. Early indications say it's not an Achilles. We will see. He did tweet after the game, good W tonight. Shouted out Derek White. And he also said, thanks for all the support. We'll be good. That's what we want to hear, but of course we don't know. Celtics, though, 21-4 without him this season. Charlotte, how are you feeling as a Boston fan?
Was I pacing around my living room saying, I just feel like it's an Achilles. It has to be an Achilles. Did you see the way he pulled up? Yes, because I am a psychotic sports fan. The thing about Porzingis, like anytime I see him in person, in warmups before a game, I'm staring at this guy and I'm like, your shin bone is so long. Like he's like a bunch of noodles put together is like unbelievable at basketball. So I think that for me, this was some like the, you know, you're waiting for something to happen and then it happens and you're like, okay, well, I guess at least it happened. So then we can get that out of the way, because it felt like this was just something we were sort of waiting for. Cause he's tiny, small little shins, you guys. It's just like, how did his ankles,
his legs are too long.
His legs are too long. But I do think he says we'll be good. Like, okay, yes, great. Eventually, how long? Like, what are we looking at here? I think that as you start facing these very, very tough teams left in the playoffs, it is concerning to think about doing it without Porzingis Senior.
You can be 21-4 without a player in the regular season when you're playing all kinds of different teams, but when it's in the playoffs, if you have to be without them, now you're playing a really good team possibly seven times. I think it takes on a different note. And you're right about the basketball players, because I remember with Giannis, my God, you don't know where the top of their ankle, ends and their calf begins. It all looks the same. So when Giannis reached down, I didn't know if he was grabbing the top by his Achilles or the bottom of his calf. And luckily it was a calf strain, and luckily here it seems to be a calf strain. But you sit there and say, luckily, because an Achilles, you're going to be done. A calf strain, you're going to be back, but you don't know when. Again, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on radio and TV. But a strain, when you hear the word strain, that is a tear. It's just how much of a tear. You get to grades, a grade one strain to a grade four strain. So that we don't know. Giannis has still been out. Giannis hasn't played, since he strained his calf. So it can last a long while. I know the feeling of that one as well, over time and playing. So it is one of those things where you like breathe a sigh of relief. It's not an Achilles where you're going to be done, Mike. But now it's like, okay, how bad did you strain this thing and how much time will you miss? You're going to get through this series now taking a 3-1 lead. But, what now happens going the rest of the way, though he will have some downtime here.
It is interesting. I remember years ago they did a study on, I forget if 6'10 or 7 foot was the cutoff, but guys that were over that certain height threshold and over 275 pounds and their recovery from lower body injuries and how damning that used to be for careers. And that was a day and age where we had more back to the basket bigs and guys that were posted up on the block, that more traditional five. I am very curious now, because we have seen this anecdotally with a lot of the big talls who move very well. It's the chief concern for everyone we were watching Wemby this year was, is this guy going to get hurt? Is he going to stay healthy long enough to be this player? Because I always say in sports, there's a lot of now nothing this big should move this well going on, especially around NBA courts. And Kristaps Porzingis absolutely falls into that mold of being a 7'3 guy who can go out there and ball handle and put it on the deck and do all these things that create such a unique advantage, but also just put your body in positions that hardly, I mean, Anthony Davis falls into the same category as well, a guy that was a guard early in his career and then was this late bloomer into being tall, and so moves like a small person in a big body in a way that doesn't always vibe, and I think is kind of the reason you see him get injured a fair amount. So I think that's fascinating on one side, but the other side of this, Charlotte, is you mentioned the stiff competition everywhere else. In the East, not really. Like, in the East, it's really, like, now that they've gotten past, we think, especially a Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat team that doesn't have the same punch, that unless they shoot historically well, isn't in these games the way that people thought, oh, maybe they would be just based off past experience. Looking at the rest of the East, it's like, all right, outside of the Knicks, there's not a lot of scary around there that I worry about necessarily for the Boston Celtics. This to me is about, hey, Boston, you were on this unbelievably historic pace for the majority of the season. You got to beat Denver. And I don't know if you're capable of doing that if you have less than 100% Kristaps Porzingis. So that becomes the worry. These are all higher order needs for them, because they're going to be judged by, does this core finally win a championship or not? Because this was supposed to be the year, and Kristaps was supposed to be a huge part of why.
I honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm married to a Knicks fan and he's been incepting me in my sleep. I honestly think that the Knicks are much scarier than anyone is giving them credit for. I think that they are so dogged. They do not give up. Watching them play against Embiid, that should terrify the Celtics. Yes, Embiid is not 100%. But the way that they go after every offensive board, every defensive board, every loose ball, Jalen Brunson feels like he doesn't get a call, and then he goes on the war path. Like, they can score in so many different ways. And I think that the thing that scares me about the Celtics as a fan is that, you know, it was funny watching last night, Stan Van Gundy was really going pretty hard at him, but he was like, they get complacent. And they do. And I think that in big moments, they get not only complacent, but then when they realize they have to come back from that, they get rattled. And one thing that the Knicks do not get is rattled. So I actually think that's not a given that they are going to face the Nuggets at this point. And that's where they're going to have to, you know, have real conversations in the locker room about, like, okay, like, backs up against the wall, how do we respond to this, and how do we keep up that intensity? Because one thing you can't teach is going really, really, really hard and like keeping morale up for 48 minutes. And one thing that Tom Thibodeau has done is found a Knicks team full of guys who not only want to play, they're like, you know what, play me 57 minutes, especially when I'm hurt. And that's a scary thing in the playoffs. So am I, like, Gojo, am I completely brainwashed, or do you think I'm like, I feel like I'm really seeing some truth here when I watch this Knicks team? I also might be broken and have PTSD from watching the Celtics screw up in the playoffs for so many years now.
No, you're definitely a little broken. And Dan, I think we've talked about this some relative to the 76ers at the end of that last game where, hey, it's interesting watching a team where the coach and the star player have married identities so perfectly, to where Jalen Brunson is this perfectly formed Tibbs weapon where he can withstand all of the pounding that this coach is going to put on his star players and then go out and take that to the court in a way that gives them that edge that maybe Boston does lack right now, because you don't look at any of the stars on their team and go, that's the dog, that's the alpha mentality that we can count on in all of these moments. They're great players, but it does not feel that same way as it does when you look at Jalen Brunson and what he affords the Knicks.
I agree. I agree with you with that, but I agree with Charlotte. I think the Knicks now can give the Celtics a series. I really do. You look at the history of these two teams as far as the playoffs, 15 times they met. I think the first one was 1951, and the last one being 2013, and it's 8-7 in favor of the Celtics. So the series is pretty well split. What I can't wait for, if these two teams do match up, is the highlights we will see from the old playoff series that they've played with some of the all-time greats from both those teams that have matched up against one another. Me as the old guy of this group at 61, love that stuff. Love watching, you know, when those series were going on when I was involved in sports, when they played in 84 and 88 and 90. You know, some of those series that went on certainly before that as well. So I agree. I think it could be a very good series, and you hope it does. As I don't have a horse in a race. I know you don't. Mike, Charlotte, your husband, obviously does.
I thought you were going to say, I can't wait to see highlights from your marriage.
Well, I'd like to see that as well, if you don't mind. That'd be great.
We're going to have to make content out of this if the Knicks and Celtics face off in the Eastern Conference Finals, because I don't know how else we'll cope.
I'm now picturing Charlotte's effort, Charlotte Wilder marriage highlights to the I'm a Boss soundtrack on Twitter playing as we get ready for a Knicks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. All right, as we finish up hour number one with our friend Charlotte Wilder, who you can check out as a part of Oddball, a great podcast with Amin El Hassan every day but Monday here on the DraftKings Network, I want to get to a question that I have about the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are a really interesting team right now. As we're watching the Timberwolves and OKC find their footing in the playoffs after stellar regular seasons, I have one very important question with that, but I think we kind of stumbled on something here that we're getting right now that maybe it's been a little while, because I don't want to make it sound like we have lacked players with competitive fire. That's not the case. We're coming off an era with some of the best NBA players of all time. We're talking about graduating to a new group here and trying to kind of find where that's going to come from. And we have, I think, on a Denver Nuggets team, a player in Jamal Murray that certainly doesn't get nearly enough billing of that. The guy's hit two game-winning shots in this series. He was stellar in last year's championship run. Him and Jokic have the best two-man game in the NBA, so saith their coach as well last night. And so you've got a bunch of these guys that hunt opportunity. But as we're measuring some of these other teams on the come-up here, Charlotte Wilder and Claudia Bellafato, both Celtics fans, watching glowingly what's going on with the New York Knicks, and a player like Jalen Brunson, or with the Minnesota Timberwolves, a player like Anthony Edwards. Charlotte, it seems like there's a fair amount of envy in looking at these stars of other teams who so clearly hunt the big moment and so clearly want to be in center stage when things are going wrong, versus a Celtics team that might have pound for pound better players in Jason Tatum especially, but doesn't seem to attack those big moments in the same way. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I don't think you can say anymore that Jason Tatum is undoubtedly better than Jalen Brunson. I don't think you can say he's undoubtedly better than Ant Edwards. I think that they have proved this year that they do not give up and that there is a lot more than raw talent. I think Ant is a case where raw talent panned out so quickly. He's 22 years old. And we saw that with Tatum, right? But I think that what has always, I don't know whether this is completely on Tatum either. It could be on the organization. Like, I don't know what goes on in there, but something, he does not have that same intensity and like, okay, you cross me, I will show you. He'll go off sometimes, but you know, he has not always come through in big moments. Sometimes that's because he's been hurt. But I think that what we're seeing with Ant and with Jalen Brunson is this, and it's different with Brunson, right? Because he might not have been that raw talent. He has just worked so hard to become so good. His footwork is so impeccable. He finds ways to score. You can't really guard it. He's 6'2". And if he turns around and jukes you and then gets a fadeaway jumper, you can be Joel Embiid, you can be 7 feet tall, and you can't really do much about it. So yeah, I think that, you know, this is why I love Marcus Smart. People will make fun of me. I know that this team is better without him. He was so fun to watch play. He was diving for those loose balls, like that intensity, that spirit. Like, what's more fun to root for than that? And that's what Ant and Jalen Brunson have, except that you don't cringe when they take a three.
Charlotte, I have to agree. And can I just quickly say, too, as I'm looking at these series, I will say if the Celtics don't go and win the whole thing, I want something to change to this roster, and I would be okay if it's Tatum or Brown moving pieces. Because you look at the Knicks, the only game they've lost is when Joel dropped 50. The Minnesota Timberwolves are about to sweep the super team Suns, and we dropped a game without Jimmy Butler to a Heat squad. That's good, but you don't let them shoot over 53% from the three. If the Celtics don't win it all this season, I will be severely disappointed, and I would not mind changing one of those major role players out. I just wouldn't.
We'll see. We know there's always changes, but when the big names are involved, this always makes it a little more interesting. I'm excited for the player. I won't say younger than Jalen Brunson. He's 27. He's been around. This is his sixth year coming over from Dallas, his second year in New York, but how he's jumped onto the stage to become a name that everybody knows. SGA kind of already got there. He's kind of been there. He's in the MVP conversation right now, but it's Jalen Brunson in the East. And in the West, you look at the matchups. You know, Denver's going to play Minnesota. We know the Denver stars and Jamal Murray. I mean, don't worry, Mike Malone. We are going to give your team love. You got a long way to go. You're going to be fine. But he was absolutely, it was like the Murray and Reeves show in the fourth quarter last night of that game. But we know who their stars are. But how Anthony Edwards, who we had talked about how has gotten better every year in the last two. He's made the last two All-Star games. But what he did when Karl Anthony Towns went out and how he even upped his game puts you on center stage. And then you have SGA against either Dallas or L.A. Dallas and L.A. have the established guys, Luka and Kyrie. And, I mean, L.A.'s got, you know, three or four established guys who are in there up to mid-30s. So I'm excited, Mike, for this, how this postseason goes on, for the names we have been talking about that have jumped onto the scene. This is a way for them to really put their names, you know, on the tip of everybody's tongue, the way they can finish out here.
I also think that we've had this era of unbelievable players. I mean, the fact that it's KD, Steph, and LeBron have, one of them has been in the playoffs since 2009, 2010, they haven't been that young for a while. And I think that there is only so much you can do. The fact that they've kept doing what they're doing at such a high level for so long and stayed so competitive. Well, most of them, KD, I guess, starts to be like, well, but that's a different conversation. You know, what we're seeing now is guys who are younger with that fire, who grew up watching those guys, Ant and KD playing against each other. Like, it made me tear up. It was so cute. It was, and KD saying that he loves watching Ant now. I mean, it really is this changing of the guard. And I think what makes it exciting is that we remember what it was like when the older guys were young and just had that same fire. And so to see it pop up in players where maybe, you know, we've seen greatness. Luka's been amazing, obviously, like, there've been players who've been young and incredible. The fact that we're seeing this now in the playoffs with a whole crop of new teams is really, really fun, Gojo.
Yeah. The league also very much needs this. They need them to kind of build up lore in the postseason as they're trying to replace those guys, because this is what golf has been going through for a long time post-Tiger, where you get these young guys that come through and they'll succeed for a little bit, but then it won't sustain in the same way. We had three names that you mentioned that were at or near the top of their game. You can throw Kawhi Leonard in there, who is always in the conversation when healthy, for the best player in the NBA for this long swath of time. Jalen Brunson represents a fascinating force in all of that, because I think he is falling into that Steph Curry archetype where, Charlotte, you mentioned, the physical measurables are not otherworldly. This is a guy a little bit more of a square body. His game's defined by some of that stop and start. I was watching him and found myself comparing him movement-wise to like Le'Veon Bell and the way that he would constantly get you off balance by changing speeds and manipulating short areas and getting into the paint and making himself a problem for much bigger players. And people looking at that and going, oh, that's accessible. The guy who did it through hard work, who doesn't have to be 6'7 with all the length in the world like Jason Tatum, or an incredible springy athlete like Anthony Edwards, that looks a little bit more accessible to people in a way that they all love. But Charlotte, before we let you out here, and we appreciate your time this hour, I do have to ask you the one question about the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is, do you think that the What a Pro Wants commercial is enough of a curse to prevent them from ultimately being able to challenge Denver for the Western Conference? Have you been afflicted by this scourge like everyone else?
I'm afflicted. I can tell you what commercial it is. No Flex Zone, Wingstop. But I'm broken. I'm a broken person. I will say though that no, I don't think it's a curse, because What a Pro Wants, What a Pro Needs, whatever makes you happy, whatever lets you sweep, Gojo.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, you know what? Charlotte Wilder, you can clearly tell this is a house of learned content creators in the Wilder family that are getting ready for the potential doomsday apocalyptic scenario that is Celtics-Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Charlotte, we're all going to say a prayer for your household and your marriage that, one, it obviously survives this. You guys have a strong foundation to build on, and I believe in you because I also think you're a closeted Knicks fan and you're still kind of learning to let that part of yourself out in public. But also, two, because we do believe that stellar content would come out of that, just like the stellar content that people can get when they tune into Oddball, a wonderful podcast, Charlotte Wilder, Amin El Hassan, every day but Monday here on the DraftKings Network. Charlotte, thanks so much, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, guys. Love you. We'll miss you until next week.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we'll take a look back at some of the NFL draft class and hand out our own very special grades that my dad is certainly going to love.
Like, you looked a little too good in that hat and those colors, and you looked a little too happy.
No one's ever been that nice to me in New York. This team is changing things. Everyone was like, oh, yeah. Only one guy told me to go f*** myself. Do you know what a record that is for New Yorkers?